This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We got mean text coming up in 10, 15 minutes. So you still have a little bit of time. 710 is the Mac and Jack's text line for your creative mean text. Bring your best work. Let's see what you got. There's some good stuff. A lot of stuff came in on the A-Rod conversation.
He's still a lightning rod. Danny O'Neill joke.
I do get it. Yeah. No pun intended there. But yeah, some people, you know, had some very clever shots at him saying, I'm not mad at him about leaving. I'm mad at him because he blew it with J-Lo.
Yeah. And then that led you and I to have a conversation about Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley.
Yeah, yeah, it's another mess up.
Billy Joel, just very talented guy, plays the piano like crazy.
Great songwriter.
Good song. But Christie Brinkley, it's a little out of your league.
Oh, boy, she's aging well, too.
You should not have screwed that one up.
Still does great work. hey, as far as this Mariner team goes, I was saying this in our show email last night that, yeah, this season is what it is. It's about development. It's about getting these guys the experience, and they'll go up. They'll go down to AAA. They'll get their feet wet. They'll cut their teeth on all this stuff. Next year, regardless of what goes on this year with injuries, and you brought this up yesterday about the idea of, hey, does Jerry's plan get pushed back by 6 months or a year because of what they're going through, and it's going to really stunt the development of some of these guys. And while on the surface, I agree with you, that certainly could. And could impact the development of some of these guys if they're on the injured. Evan White, people like that, you know, they're going to be behind the eight ball, so to speak. But to me, next year, there is no excuse. Next year is a year of competition where you need to contend as an organization. And that means if the young guys aren't ready, then bring in guys that are. And I'm not saying you ship off the young guys. I'm saying you bring in some established veterans to help. You don't put it all – you spent nothing this offseason. You didn't invest in this season. This is about the youth. You didn't bring any big-time free agents, and I didn't expect them to. Next year, I expect that, and I expect it regardless of what goes on this year in terms of injuries. You've got to give the fans something to cling to. You cannot keep kicking the can down the road and saying, well, hey, guys, we did have a plan to compete in 22, but you saw what happened last year, so now we're looking at 23. You can't do that. You can't afford to do that. And this isn't even about Jerry. I think this is more about ownership and making a commitment to, hey, we didn't spend any money last year. We kind of told everybody at the beginning of the season, this isn't about wins and losses. This is about development. And we expected them to be okay with it. You can't expect them to be okay with another year of that. It's been far too long. Had you been a playoff team that had been a number of years and maybe it worked out, maybe it didn't, but you'd been there, you'd been in the mix, okay, that's different. You're going on two decades. You can't do it. You have to fill in the gaps where they exist next year. And if it exists because a young guy isn't developed, if Evan White isn't ready or if Jared Kelnick isn't ready, whoever it is, then you bring in somebody that is.
You know, I was looking at, would this be a good comparison? Like Eric Hosmer, getting him from Kansas City down to San Diego, like a nice player that you know, you're building your farm system, everything. Those guys are developing. It was 2018, but you go and get a guy like that. And we talked about yesterday bringing Mitch Haniger back, not trading him. That would be part of it. But, I mean, I saw in your email that you talked about the fan base.
Yeah.
Like, do they owe that to the fan base? I mean, to me, it's about you've got to convince ownership. Like, you've got to convince John Stanton. And I would say yes. Like, if I was the owner and Jerry came to me and said, we need to push back our timeline because – look at the injuries. But I guess you could argue, stop getting guys that get injured. You know, that's on you too, I guess. But is it just bad luck? You know,
I feel like it is. We talked about the idea of blaming the training staff. Is it their fault? What's going on? It just feels like this is sort of out of their control. It's what happens.
And I will never blame a training staff ever. Because the trainers, that was another reason why Baker Mayfield, you know, I remember he threw the trainers under a bus at one point before he started doing his commercials and turned things around. But, you know, I'll never, you know, say anything negative about the training staff because those guys are just because of my experience with that. But I mean, look, you could say Kyle Lewis, that was a risk because of his knee situation and, you know, maybe they should have seen that it was going to be a problem going forward. I don't know. I'm just saying that, to me, if I'm Jerry DePoto and I'm having to convince anybody, it would be the owner, and it would be like, hey, we can't develop guys if they're not out there, and if they're not out there because of injuries, that's not really my fault.
Yeah. I just don't think there's an excuse not to spend money. I really don't. I think you've got to if the holes exist because of the injuries this year, and you're saying, well, we got a hole, and I just keep throwing Evan White out there because he just hasn't been here. He's been – we kind of forgot about him. But if we're looking at Evan White next year and going, he's – you know, he was really – his growth was really set back because of his injuries. He's still batting 140 or whatever. Then you need to bring in somebody who can hit. And I'm not saying you get rid of him. You allow him time to develop, but you don't say, well, we're gonna accept a losing season or accept a season where we're not expected to go to the postseason because of his injury situation and he just wasn't developed. So this is another year of development. No, it's not. Maybe it is, but you bring in guys who can produce. I'm not talking about duct tape guys who are at the end of their career. You brought up Hosmer. That's a great one. We talked to the play-by-play guy from the Padres who said at the time they were kind of like, wow, you're going to spend that kind of – this team doesn't seem ready for
right.
to spend that kind of money on a player, and you see how it's turned out for him. So I think the Mariners need to follow suit. You need to spend on guys that are going to be with the team for a couple of years that are going to occupy positions of need for you. Now, whether we're talking third base, we're talking second base, we're certainly talking rotation, those are the spots you got to look at. And I think this year, fine, I was at peace with it as a Mariner fan. I didn't love it, but the idea of, okay, this is the first time we've truly torn it down and we're building it back up. Okay, I get what that means. But you can't keep kicking the can down the road, like we said, and saying, well, we said 22, but now it's 23 because of the injuries. That's not going to fly with people. The tolerance just isn't there. We see it on the text. We see it on social media. You see it in the attendance. I mean, I just don't think the tolerance is there for another year, regardless of the circumstances. As much as what you said makes sense, that, man, this is an unbelievable level of injury they've sustained. I think everybody sees it, but I think they're just like, listen, I don't want to hear it. Spend money. You didn't do it this offseason. You better do it next one.
Yeah. Assuming Cal Raleigh develops the way that they want him to, because I was going to say, you know, catcher, you know, always in the rotation where you can spend money. But if you're going to spend some money on an Eric Hosmer type of guy, where would it be? What position? Because second base.
You don't have a second baseman right now.
You don't have a second baseman.
I mean, Dylan Moore was filling in. He's not an everyday player, in my opinion. I think he's a great guy to have on the roster, utility guy who can play a lot of different spots. But saying that's our everyday second baseman, and I know Shed Long was somebody that they looked at with that potential, but, I mean, he didn't have a ton of run at the major league level, but what he did have was not impressive. So you don't have an answer there, and Seager's expected to be gone after next year. So is Ty France going to be your third baseman? We heard what Divish said about him as a third baseman. He's a really good DH. Doesn't mean he can't develop into a decent defensive third baseman, but maybe you're better suited to have him as your DH and bring in a quality third baseman who is good defensively and offensively, which lengthens your lineup even more.
Well, and let me ask this. What about first base? I mean, Evan White is, I mean, just fantastic. I mean, but he batted 176 last year. That was in the shortened game season. But, you know, when he went out after game 30, he was at 144. There's some concern there.
Yeah, he's got a minor league bat. I mean, that's the reality of it. And can he get it fixed? I believe he can. I think he's loaded with talent. He's so good defensively that you could almost live with what he doesn't give you at the plate. He's got to be better than that. You can't live with a guy who's hitting, you know, 150. You got to be over 200, man. I don't think that's a big ask.
No. What did Brandon Ryan hit?
Barely over 200.
Right, 200. But he was
such a brilliant asset at shortstop. And you heard the pitchers talk about it. You heard the second and third baseman, which were Ackley and Seager at the time. And you heard about the value that they bring to the field and how many runs they're saving and pitches. So there's a trickle-down effect to a brilliant infielder. And he's got that. But he's got to be representative at the plate. He doesn't have to hit 280 and bring, you know, drive in 100 runs and hit 30 bombs. It'd be great if he did. But you could, with somebody that is that good defensively, I can live with hit 220, man. Yeah. 220. Don't be an automatic out up there. Just give me that.
Well, before we go to mean text here, we got Robert Duggar versus Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
You like our chances tonight, Paul? All righty then. Let's go to Mean Texas.
So you didn't like the chances. Bullpen day again.
You didn't say anything. Yeah. Bob didn't say a word.
It's not even about Duggar in particular. It's bullpen day. I think that's always a grab bag. And as much as we were praising what the bullpen did last night, is it fair to expect they're going to be just lock them down game in, game out?
No.
I don't know.
What happened to our sad music?
Well, I thought I queued it up too early. We were still talking Mariners. So I want to do Mean Texas.
All right, let's go to Mean Texas.
We had some analysis going, so I faded it out.
Hey, if you're
going
to throw the bullpen out there, throw them out there against Otani. Because everybody thinks you don't have a chance anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we're back.
Okay, we're back. We're back to Mean Texas.
We're back.
What do we got, Lefko?
Well, we
got
to start with Twitter. Because the comments were flying in. People loved the video. And I think in the spirit of Mean Texas, they, you know, had funny tweets about Dave's interception. I wish they would just focus on the interception more, but they're focusing on the tackle.
No, you don't, Lefko.
No, that was, I promise, that was not the intent when I posted this. I wanted to highlight an impressive play on a Hall of Famer. That's all I thought. I was like, wow, this is really impressive. Picked off Dan Marino. But
it had a bonus effect of also making fun of me.
You pointed it out more than me, but yeah, it did. And so I got to start, I think, with your guy, Steve Rabel. He had a good one. He commented, "That's my Dave. Great pick. ... Then let's Marino tackle him, laughing face emoji."
That's it?
That's all
Rabel had?
You could have been tackled by that exact play could have happened. You could have jumped the same way you did, fallen down the same way you did. It was just that it was the quarterback that did it. If it were a running back, a receiver, an offensive lineman that did that same thing, I don't think you would have taken the heat you did. It was the quarterback.
Definitely not. Well, it gets worse, guys. This is a preseason game. We played the Patriots in St. Louis as a promotional thing to try to get teams back there and before 88 or 89. I picked off a pass from Tony Eason. Just preseason. Nobody cares. Eason came to the sidelines. I put a move on him, slowed down, then went outside of him. I beat him. A guard who was at like the 50-yard line, the second I caught that interception, he turned and ran for the corner, you know, of where the end zone and out of bounds line. He ended up catching me. He caught me, and they say from behind, but like he was way ahead of me. He had the angle making it.
So he DK Metcalf'd
right
you.
Now. He totally did, and it was an offensive guard. I mean, and I made a great play again. It was stupid preseason. Nobody, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count or anything, but I'm like, I was so humiliated. I was just terrible. I don't know what happened, Bob. I was terrible. Whenever I got the ball in my hand, I was terrible.
That's one I can't defend. Marino, I can give you props. Hall of Famer, man. It was a big play. You gave your offense a chance.
But, Bob, I had to slow down to put the move on the quarterback.
the stanky leg on him?
I'm just the stank leg. No, like I said, I was trying to give him the limp leg. I gave him two limp legs.
Well, that's what someone else said on Twitter. So there were many along the same vein, but we'll hit this one. One guy on Twitter thought you were very nice. He said, "You're a true gentleman. You slowed down so Marino could tackle you."
That's very considerate.
That's even
of you.
Worse. That's
so
even worse.
So good.
Again, we got under center the next time, and he's like, "Nice play." And I said, "Yeah, nice tackle." I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to hear about that for, oh, look, it's 30 years now. This is the 31st year of hearing grief over that thing."
All right, I got to keep that in mind then when I post another clip next week. I'll be very careful to make sure there's only good involved.
No. That was good. That was good stuff. It gave everybody opportunity to make fun of me, which is great.
We'll move on to some text.
Help
now.
Yourself if it makes you feel better.
If it makes you feel better, it was probably our most popular thing we've ever tweeted out.
Yeah.
It's got like 10,000 views and still going.
Hey, I got lots of failures you could put on there.
Right.
I got a low light film that is.
It's going to break the internet then.
Oh, gosh,
this whole segment makes people feel better. They unload on us. They get their venom and their anger out, whatever's creating tension in their life, and we're the targets, and then it's cathartic.
We are all here for you.
That's
me,
right.
Bob, and Lefko, for you to make fun of, make yourself feel better.
All right, well, the 253, love the Dave Craig interview. They said, "You guys need to have him on more often, maybe all the time. He makes you nitwits sound better."
It makes us sound less structured. Bob's over there trying to be a radio professional. Dave Craig's running the show.
He started the show during the introduction. He was talking already.
Yeah, I mean, it just started off bad.
Oh, so funny.
Well, and first he's like, 5 o'clock, right? I'm like, what? I'd already sent him 3 o'clock.
He lived up to every bit of expectation we set for him. Just like, you never know what you're going to get. It's always a wild card. And it started before he was ever on the air. 5 o'clock, eh?
Yeah.
Maybe he thought you meant 3 to 5 o'clock with the how long you guys could have gone on those topics.
2 hours?
Yeah, 2 hours.
I'd be exhausted.
See,
we'd all have to go take a nap.
Dave just staggers out of here.
I do apologize. I have one more. It was a text, not a tweet. One more on the run back. 253 says, have you guys ever seen those videos of fainting goats? It's kind of what Dave looked like after the pick. That was a really nice move, though, Twinkle Toes.
He just fainted at the last second.
What is the deal with the... It does look like that. Like, the legs just go dead, right? What's the deal with the fainting goats? Was it when they get scared, if they get startled or something?
I'm not sure what triggers that. Is that...
Oh, I don't know. Just reflex, maybe?
I'm not
Text
sure.
Text it in, 710-710.
Yeah, we have experts about everything. We have recycling experts. We have a lot of experts, so I'm sure we have fainting goat experts.
Remember when we had the recycling thing?
Oh, yeah.
And then Bob noticed that there was two guys fighting each other. That guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
The texters were fighting each other over it.
Oh, that's great. I love when the texters go after each other or when the texters go after a caller. If we do callers and they're like, Jim in Tequila's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They just start railing on the callers.
Yeah, remember the one guy? Was that guy, that last guy, you read his text? He's a moron. Yeah. I work at a recycling plant. So good.
Texter on texter crime.
Yeah, here's one about me. 360. Lefko sounds like the name of the next failed quarterback for the Raiders.
Mm. Sounds like a failure name, huh? All right.
Yeah. That was kind of a nicer one.
Still don't know what the problem is with Derek Carr.
I don't get it either. Maybe we're just too far away from the situation to understand the shortcomings of his game.
Apparently, he doesn't win.
How much of that can be on him? He doesn't have crazy interception numbers or fumble numbers. How is it all on him?
You know what? If we were Pro Football Focus, we would just have put him randomly in the top 10.
That's exactly right. And there'd be people in Oakland going or Vegas going,
yeah,
these
what are
idiots.
You talking about?
Do they watch?
Yeah, and exactly. And they would say that to us, and we'd go, no.
No.
Oh, I'm just looking at stats.
Just looking at stats. Like looking at tackles.
Exactly.
All right. The 206 wants to know about your dinner plans, Bob. They say, Bob, looking to take my girlfriend out for a romantic dinner. You and Tramiel have any favorite ones that you go to?
They're repurposing the Cody Barton stuff with Wyman, that Taylor Tramiel and I are hanging out, having romantic dinners together. I'm in the bag for the kid. I admit it. I root for him. I'm biased.
How can you not? They need to get him on more, by the way. I mean, well, he's been down. He just got back up. Remember the one where I have it on my phone where at the end, he gets like this, the interview, it's with Blowers and I think Dave Sims. At the very end, he gets like this huge smile on his face. He goes, go Mariners. Like, did you guys hear that?
He just seems like a kind soul. He's just a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah. All right, Lefko, what's going on in there?
One just came in, and it is hilarious. So,
are you going to be able to get through it?
Probably not.
Here it goes.
Well, you're going to laugh, too. So, 360, Pro Football Focus has Wyman and Bob as the number one show on 710.
Oh!
You hate their rankings.
That's mean.
After we just got done saying they don't know what they're talking about, they prove us wrong. They know exactly what they're talking about.
The timeliness of that hit me. That was a good one.
That's good. I like this one from the 253 when we were talking about Mariner fans and they're not going to tolerate next year another kicking it down the road. 253 says, don't underestimate Mariners fans' tolerance for mediocrity. They've tolerated you two for years.
Oh, that hurts.
That's good. Not bad. Not bad.
By the way, there are plenty about the goats. I knew there would be.
Are there?
Yeah, that's right. Coming in about goats. They faint because they're scared. Their legs go numb for a few seconds. It's genetic. They faint when they get scared. They seize when startled. They're bred to have seizure. We have more text about this than about anything else we've talked about today.
It's amazing how much they know.
Well, it is. Texters. A lot of times you'll look and then go get the exact, if you Google it, it'll get the exact phrase. But we're not saying that about you guys.
No.
We're not saying that. I would say this, that only my legs were fainting goats, okay?
Really?
The rest of me was okay and willing. It was just my legs that were fainting goats. All right. We got to hurry up and get that one off of the website.
Okay.
it's up there.
It's up there for perpetuity.
It'll be up there. Yeah. Well, it's the internet. Nothing goes away.
Yeah.
All right. So the 503. I'm so glad the M's won last night. Maybe I can go 3 whole days without having to listen to Angry Bob. And that's Jen in Beaverton.
Angry Bob.
Sometimes this is Bob's therapy.
Yeah.
We get him Two hits. Can't have it. It's ridiculous. They can't do that. What's the matter with them? Well, they need to do something.
Unacceptable, Dave.
It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. They're all complicit.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. No, it's frustrating. I think everybody feels your pain. It's amazing. The A-Rod, that was one of the bigger surprises. The A-Rod and, you know, the story that we did with him possibly bringing the Sonics back. You talk about bringing out a lot of hurt feelings out of people.
Yep.
Not only about the Sonics, certainly, but also about A-Rod. And
about the NBA in general. And yeah.
Somebody said he screwed it up with J-Lo.
Yeah, people are holding that one against him. That
That's
he blew
part of it.
Blew it with J-Lo, so they hate him for that.
Yeah.
The 206 says, we talked about the USFL yesterday. They said, if you're asking people who listen to this show, they'd watch boring second-rate football, the answer is yes, because they endure this show.
Mm. All right.
So we're the USFL.
The USFL and the highly rated pro football focus of radio shows on this station.
Hey, I don't mind being associated with the USFL, but pro football focus.
That one just grows on me now even more. That you're the top rated show by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, that's rough.
That is rough.
I love it. It's 425. I love you guys. I can't bring myself to send a mean text. All right.
Oh, nice.
That's nice enough. That's nice. We got time for a couple more?
Yeah, we got about a minute. So okay. We'll see. I lost my place here. Mean text? I just lost my place.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Where did I go here? Oh, 360. Dave, you just don't get LeBron. You're not enlightened.
Okay. I just said he thinks he's so enlightened. Somebody said, did you say he thinks he's too enlightened? I'm like, no, I didn't say that.
Too enlightened. You can be too enlightened.
You can be too enlightened. Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
You have way too much understanding. All right. Good job by you guys. You've got the entire week to send in those texts. 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line, and then we unveil them on Fridays. Want to thank our guest today, Dave Craig, John Clayton, for joining us on the program. If you missed anything, just head to the podcast page at 710sports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture. Click on that. Everything you missed is there for you each and every day. We're back on Monday right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.